This is our final message today in the series that we've taken on the topic of the Holy Spirit, the person and work of God's Holy Spirit. And you can see from the title that our subject today is the gift of the Spirit, and our text is that familiar passage in 1 Corinthians 12. As you know, Paul was writing these letters back to churches that he had already been in. And in most of the cases, some things were coming off of the tracks. It should never surprise us that we have some breakdowns and some failures in our church or our churches, wherever it is that you worship and serve, because it was characteristic even in the churches that the Apostle Paul founded. So we're always vulnerable. And so the issue isn't, are we going to have breakdowns? It's, are we going to get it back together? And that was always Paul's hope for a church, even like the church in Corinth. It was a disaster church. It was the church that no pastor ever wanted to go to, unlike this church. And so things were falling apart. And Paul, though, he did not give up on them. If you read the introduction to the book in chapter 1, there we go. Those are a few of the things that he talked about. He was honoring them as people called by Christ. He was giving thanks for them. He was acknowledging their strengths. And he had this tremendous hope for them that you will be blameless on the day of Christ. So Paul wrote, in spite of all the things that were coming apart, and he's saying, God has a future for you. There's a little piece in our text this morning that seems like it doesn't fit. And I want to speak to that because it's part of this breakdown in what was happening in Corinth. The people of Corinth, a portion of them, came out of a background of idol worship and spiritism. So when they encountered Christianity, some of that flavored their expectations. And so in this particular case, when we look at spiritual gifts, and there was evidence of speaking in tongues, glossolalia, people speaking in other language, and somewhat ecstatic kind of speech, the people in Corinth identified some of that with the speaking of the mediums and the spiritists. So they got caught up in it. And Paul says to them in verses 2 and 3 in our text, he's saying, you used to go down that road being drawn to lifeless idols who couldn't speak. And you were caught up in the voices that were being spoken on their behalf by spiritists and mediums. And so he's saying, here's a filter for you when it comes to the practice of this spiritual gift of tongues and glossolalia. He's saying, whatever those voices are, if they're critical of Jesus and if they say, Jesus be cursed, that's your filter. Those are not of God. But if those voices that are speaking say, Jesus is Lord, that's the legitimate gift. That's of the Holy Spirit. So when we look at Scripture then, what it meant for them and what it means for now, the issue comes up about these voices. And when I talk to the elders this week about our text for today, and we do that every Wednesday morning, they said I should say something about those spiritual influences that are creeping into our own community so that we can be alert and we can be prayerful. So just to say, I don't know. Okay, so there it is, their background, irresistibly being led astray, those spoken messages that are the filter, and then, okay, fellas, what's going on? I'm not getting, is that me? Okay. So the threat to us. On May 12th, in our own library here, there is a gathering of mediums that speak spiritual messages. Here's a quote from a medium named Rebecca Rosen, and this comes off of the Oprah Winfrey website. She says this, "The emphasis of my work is mediumship, making connections with and delivering messages from people who are no longer living to those who still are. I receive information primarily and directly from the dead, from spirit guides and angels." So our passage raises that issue for the Corinthians. So this morning, I just want to bounce off of that and say, they were threatened by that, and it's a threat in our own day. And we just need to be aware. We need to pray against the influence of that. We need to also take guard against being drawn into it. Paul says that kind of phenomenon is attractive. And that's what we find in verses 2 and 3. Okay, so now, okay, I didn't know if that, bad picture. Okay, here's our text for today. It's 1 Corinthians 12, and I'll invite you to follow along, verse 1. "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant or uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to those mute idols. They couldn't speak. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of those tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." We are the body of Christ. It's the summary statement in verse 27. Paul says, together, the group of believers that meet to worship and serve Christ, you are a body. Not all bodies are created equal, as you can almost see on that picture. But regardless of what any body looks like, our bodies are amazing things, amazing creations. Do you know that your heart pumps 6 liters of blood every minute? And if you were able to pump that all out and gather it, you would end up with 40, 50-gallon drums of blood in a day. Isn't that amazing? That's just one little piece of information about our bodies and their capacity. We have the range of movement, we have the strength, and we have the ability to do intricate things with our fingers and our hands. A body is an amazing functioning entity. And when we open this text this morning, what we're being told is that the body, a body, is a metaphor or a picture of what the church is to be. The church, as God has created it, is not simply one thing. We come and we sit here this morning and we're in rows all looking to the front. That's one picture of what the church is, a worshiping community. And the Bible says we're a temple of the Holy Spirit together. We're a worshiping community. But in this description, We're being given the function of our body. We function under the headship of Christ to perform, to accomplish the will of God, and to carry on the mission of Jesus. So that's our core truth this morning. And I just want to offer you three things from this text that tells us what we need to know in order to function effectively as the body of Christ that we have been made into. So three things to discover. First of all, is the Holy Spirit has gifted me. I need to know that. You need to know that. And the Bible says that to each one, the manifestation, the display of the Holy Spirit has been given. The Bible is saying that the Holy Spirit has given you and given me a special provision from God that enables us to serve effectively within the body of Christ. And those manifestations are described in a little bit more detail in verses 4 to 6. It's talking about giftedness that comes from the Spirit. It's talking about ways of serving that comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. And it talks about a working or an energy or a strategy that comes from God the Father. So the whole Trinity is involved in what the Spirit is manifesting in each of our lives. So when the Bible says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given, do you believe that? Do you believe that? It's important. We each have to embrace that truth and walk in the confidence and the courage that God has so favored us with the gifts that He supplies to us. So I'm wondering if we could just say together this little phrase, the Spirit has gifted me. Will you say it? The Spirit has gifted me. Amen. And along with that, to realize that the Holy Spirit decides which gift we get. And that's on the next slide. So Paul says, all of these gifts, after he lists that big long of gifts, he says, these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he's giving them each one just as he determines. The Holy Spirit decides which gift. So in the Western world, we're consumers, eh? Best consumers in the world. Everything gets sent to North America and marketed to us because we love to select things and take it home. So if I want a pair of navy dress pants, I just go in and I point to it, try it on. Usually it doesn't fit me and needs some alterations, but then I take it home and it's mine. But the gifts of the Spirit aren't consumer goods. They're given to us. They're God's favor to us. So it's God who decides what you get. And in Corinth, people were hanging out together in the church and they were saying, oh, I like that gift. I wish I was gifted like him or like her. And maybe you've thought that too. I wish I had that gift. The Bible is saying that's all in God's hands. We can't buy them. We can't create them. We can't give them to each other, but God gives them to us. Down at verse 31, it talks about desiring particular gifts. We can seek after gifts. We can pray for them. But in the end, God decides which gift you have. So we've been favored with gifts. But if we're to function effectively as the body of Christ, we need to realize the second thing, and it's the gift is not for you. Ugh. Who wants to show up at Christmas time and open a gift and realize, it's not for me. I have to give it away. And you know what? That's exactly what the Bible is teaching here. God favors each of us with these gifts, but we have to give it. They go together to form one body. So the first thing we said, the Spirit has gifted me. The second thing I'd like you to say is, my gift is not for me. So the Spirit has gifted me, and then my gift is not for me. My gift is not for me. Okay, we're getting our theology together here. And then one last thing is that we need to know, if we're going to function effectively as the body, is that God is the master arranger. Not the lone ranger, not the park ranger. He's the master arranger of the body. God puts the individual parts together just as he wanted them to be. Now, when you look around and you think, wow, look at the mess that we are. No, you don't think that, do you? No, but you look at the eclectic nature of a church and you think, how does that ever fit together to become something that functions and accomplishes the will and the mission of God? It's in the mind and the design of God to do that. So we live into that possibility that God is always at work within our midst, fitting us together, sharpening us so that we can become that healthy, functioning body. I have a little grandson. He's going to turn 5 this week. And he is fanatical about Lego. So if you want to buy him a gift and make him happy, buy him a box of Lego that makes something, particularly if it makes something out of the Star Wars phenomenon. When I see that package of Lego, all the colors, all the shapes, I just throw up my hands and say, I don't even want to open the bag. But that little guy, he will sit at the table and put those pieces together and be patient while somebody helps him. So all kinds of pieces that go together, and look what they make. Yeah, isn't that amazing? That's the work of a 5-year-old. So if a 5-year-old can do that, how much more can God do to take us and gather up our giftedness and gather up our passion to serve him and make us into one body? Together, our gifts accomplish God's will. So here's a thought. I'm wondering, when you first stepped into this church, whether it was recently or a long time ago, if you kind of had a look around and you decided, I think I'm going to stay here. I think this will be my church. I made that decision. The Bible is actually saying something different. It's saying that you're here by God's design. Yeah, you made the decision, but God was guiding you. God was placing you. And you're here because he wants you here. And there's a purpose for you to be here and for us to be here together. So right now it's hockey playoff time. And I love being a spectator. I love sitting and watching, and maybe you prefer to sit and watch something else. But what we need to know is the church is not a spectator sport. Even though we come on Sunday morning and it's a bit more about listening and taking in, it's much more than that. Because the body image says we have to go to work. We have to blend our giftedness together and function as the body. So if church is not a spectator sport, how do we get it working and going? And here's a few suggestions. In order for us to raise up the level of our gifts and acknowledge them and put them to work, we've got to be in relationship with one another. Because if we're just looking at the back of each other's heads, we're not going to figure that out. So we have to be together. We have to join in groups for spiritual growth and for service. We have to invite others in to participate and be active with us. We have to encourage each other in serving God. How often have you given out those words of affirmation and encouragement and said to someone, I see that gift of mercy in you. I see that gift of leadership in you. I see the gift of wisdom. I see your gift of speaking knowledge to others. That's what we're called to do, is to acknowledge the gifts of others, help them to identify their giftedness. And if you want an example of someone who gives that encouragement and affirmation, you just hang around with George Black, because he is an all-star at uplifting people and encouraging people. Yeah. So that's what we're called to do. And together we identify and affirm the giftedness of one another when we're together, when we're serving, and we discern how they fit together. And then the last thing is to be prayerful for the Holy Spirit's power upon each other. Paul prayed that. Our next slide is from Ephesians 3:16. He said this, he said, I pray that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. If the Apostle Paul could pray that for believers, why would we not pray that for ourselves and for others? That the Holy Spirit might so gift and empower brothers and sisters in Christ and shape us in to that healthy, functioning, fruitful body that he's made us to be. Jesus in Luke 11 said, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father gift the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more will God give his Spirit to us and empower us to serve him? So we're coming to the end of this Holy Spirit teaching series and Holy Spirit small groups. Some people are speaking about new discoveries, about the adventure of relying upon the Holy Spirit and just seeing God come alive in some new ways. What about you? I want to leave you this morning with a final word, and it's a quote from author Francis Chan, who wrote the book that was helping to support our small group studies. It's called Forgotten God. And he says this. He says, no matter where you live and what your days look like, you have the choice each day to depend on yourself, to live safely, and to try and control your life. Or you can live as you were created to live, as a temple of the Holy Spirit, desperate for God. Desperate for God, the Holy Spirit, to show up and make a difference. So what about you? What about you? We each have a choice. Will you ask the Holy Spirit? Will you ask the Holy Spirit to show up in you, to make a difference in your life, to manifest your gifts, and to put them to use, that we might together be the body of Christ, accomplishing his will and pursuing his mission. I'll invite you just to pray for a moment of silence, and the worship team come and lead us. And it's just about taking a moment to contemplate what God, the Holy Spirit, might long to do in your life and how he might gift you, to serve him in his body.